Welcome to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be starting a new Sefer and Parshas Devarim. Today is Devarim Rishon, the first Aliyah in Parshas Devarim. What we do every day is we take a look at the Aliyah, look at an overview, and spend some time on a few points to ponder. So let's jump straight in. Our first Aliyah is 11 Psukim long, running from Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph to Yud Aleph. The main idea of our Aliyah is the history and the promise at Chorev, which is another name for Sinai. Let's take a look at the brief summary, and then some points to ponder. So we hear that the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech is to the children of Israel on Arvos Moav, this is the steps of Moav, which is next to the Jordan River, in the desert facing Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Lavan, Chatzeros, and Di Zahav, 11 days from Chorev. These are all complicated names, we'll get to them in just a moment. Moshe started his speech on the first day of the 11th month, that's what we call Rosh Chodesh Shvat today, after he killed Sichon and Og, the Amorite kings, the kings of the Transjordan nations. And Moshe then started explaining the Torah about Er Heitev, very clearly explained. He explained that at Chorev, at Sinai, Hashem told them it was time to leave the mountain, and he told them to turn towards the mountain of the Amorites, and they would move from the south all the way to the Euphrates now to conquer the land of Israel. Hashem told them that this was the land that was given and sworn to the patriarchs, to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, at which time Moshe Rabbeinu then interjects that he cannot lead the nation alone. Lo yuchal levadi, says Hashem, I cannot carry this nation all by myself. And he goes on to say how Hashem has made this nation so great as the stars and as plenty, and he will increase the numbers. Hashem will increase you as was promised. So Moshe Rabbeinu seems to interject, as Hashem is telling him to leave Sinai, then Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that I cannot be the singular leader. We have to work out why this is being said now. So a few basics that we need to try to understand. What is the point of this entire speech? So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be speaking for just over 30 days in the last period in his life. He's starting from Rosh Chodesh Shvat. He's going to pass away on the 7th of Adar. So it's a 36-day speech. And this is going to be a very important speech. So what is the point of it? So Rashi says it starts off with rebuke of Israel. And this explains a few things. That explains, number one, why it is to all of Israel. So no one else outside can say, oh, well, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to those guys. Those guys really needed that Musar Shmuz. But the rest of us, we're all right. So that's number one. Another thing that this explains is why it is on his deathbed, because he felt that it was best to give the things that he needed to say in rebuke now, because people would be more open to it. And number two, he wouldn't have to repeat himself numerous times throughout his life and be disappointed by the fact that people were not listening to his basic moral, ethical will. And finally, it also explains why it is after conquering the lands of Sichon and Og to show that this is not out of his, we'll call it, negativity, that he can't get into the land of Israel. So now he's telling people what he thinks because of negativity. No, he has the capacity to conquer the lands of Sichon and Og, and he is very willing to do the rest, but he's not allowed to, so now he's going to give his death speech, essentially. Rashi points out that there is an agenda over here as well, not only rebuke, but ba'er es ha-Torah ha-Zois le'mor, to explain this Torah. Rashi explains, quoting the Midrash Tanhuma, in 70 languages, a large segment of Devarim is explaining and organizing the Torah. The Ramban, Nachmanides, in his introduction to the Sefer, deepens this a little bit. He says, if you look at the Sefer, you'll see a number of things which are repeated from the four books of the Torah. You'll see a number of things which are added from that were not in the previous four books of the Torah explicitly, and you'll see things which were there in the previous four books of the Torah and are not mentioned here. So how do we square this? So the Ramban says everything that is said in Devarim, in Sefer Devarim, was taught beforehand. Even mitzvahs like, as an example, Shiloach HaKein, the mitzvah of Gerushin, or the operations of divorce, the idea of Yibum, these are things which only appear in Sefer Devarim. The Ramban tries to see how they fall back into ideas already in the four books previously. But nonetheless, everything is already taught, but they're being reiterated over here, either in greater detail or because these are relevant to the society that is about to be created, the Ramban explains. The Ramban also points out that there are no mitzvahs which are related to the Kohanim. So all the types of things we hear about in Sefer Vayikra, the korbanos, the sacrifices, the meal offerings, the libations, those things we're not going to be hearing about in Sefer Devarim, because the Kohanim are Zrizimheim. The Kohanim are people who do not need to be reminded about these particular issues, which is why they're not included in the Sefer as well. It's worthwhile noting that the Netziv points out in his introduction to the Sefer that This book is called Mishneh Torah. The Mishneh, the word Mishneh actually has two meanings, and it points out one is repetition, like the Ramban was saying. The other one is Mishneh, which means learning. And that means to say the shinun, the depth of understanding, which is being presented in this book. He quotes a medrash which says that Yoshua would often be found looking at Mishneh Torah, this last book of the Torah, and Yoshua would use this as a guiding principle to his life. And then it concludes by saying, if Yoshua, who is the greatest leader, who was a student of Moshe, could look at, say, for the Mishneh Torah in order to find the way to live and lead his life, then surely we can find much in it ourselves. Now, what are all these funny names at the beginning of the Sefer? I mean, it doesn't sound like they're all replaced because there's so many of them. So Rashi explains that they're actually innuendos. They're really supposed to be code words for Israel to notice and remember certain things that happened at these places or these ideas, these metaphors, so that they would remember and take notes. So as an example, he explains when it says Bamidbar, they weren't in the desert, they're actually on the steps of Moab at this point in time. That's not a desert. So when he says Bamidbar, it doesn't mean that they were there, but it's referring to when Israel first left the Sea of Reeds and they started complaining that they should return to Egypt. When it says Ba'aravah, it refers to the sin of Baal Peor in the Aravos Moab. When it says Mul Suf, facing Suf, that's when the Jews first arrived, the Hebrews arrived at Yam Suf, at the Sea of Reeds, and wishing they had not left Egypt. Ben Paran of Ben Tofel refers to the Meraglim in the desert of Paran. Lavan refers to the manna, which is white, which they complained about it. The manna was right. And Chatzeros refers to the episode of Korach, and these have, of course, the Egel Hazah. Let's move on to another question. What is this business with 11 days? 11 days from Har Sinai. So Rashi explains that's the amount of time it would have taken them to travel from Sinai into the land of Israel. And yet Hashem made that an expedited journey, which was only took them 3 days. They were really on the cusp of entering the land of Israel before they sinned and complained, and that sort of delayed things as well. Another question. Why does Moshe say he cannot deal with them? Nothing seems to have happened yet. Now, what triggered Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Lo yochal la'aseis eschem, I cannot bear you? So Rashi explains that the leader of the Israelites takes a tremendous responsibility for the sins that relates to judgment. Moshe Rabbeinu was the judge, and he knew that if he did not judge correctly, or he made an improper decision, that he bore the responsibility. And he was saying that as a judge, he felt that level of responsibility was too much. Ramban explains that this, therefore, is the introduction to the suggestion made by his father-in-law, Yisro, which was introducing a hierarchy, bureaucracy into the judgment system, that he himself was not the only person judging. We're going to hear about this more in the next Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.